Britain's special forces are expected to play a crucial role in the Afghanistan campaign. For obvious reasons, few details emerge of these covert operations, but a 1994 book called Bravo 2-0 sheds light on how such forces work. The author is a former British soldier who goes by the pseudonym Andy McNab. For 9 years, he served in Britain's Special Air Service, an elite regiment similar to America's Delta Force. McNab's memoir describes his experiences in the Gulf War, when he and 7 members of his patrol were attacked behind Iraqi lines. 3 were killed, 1 escaped to Syria, and 4, including McNab, were captured and tortured. I asked Andy McNab whether any amount of training could block out the fear that comes with such dangerous work.
The thing about fear is, certainly as I sort of went on with my career, I found that fear was all right, because what it is natural. Everybody is scared, and certainly the people who say they're not scared, they're either sort of lying or they're mentally deficient and they shouldn't be doing the job, really. And I got caught up with that when I was a young soldier in an infantry battalion in Northern Ireland, and the first time I actually killed a man was when I was 19, and I got caught up in that whole bravado thing where I thought I couldn't tell anybody that I was scared, because that wasn't the culture. And certainly when I got in the Special Air Service, it was quite refreshing to hear people saying, well, I didn't like that. But it's all those things of experience, training and knowledge that gets you over the fear, but it's a natural thing to have.
Can you tell me when you were most frightened?
Yes, I think that it was when I was captured by the Iraqis, just about 2.5 kilometres from the Syrian border. I'd been hiding all day in a drainage culvert, and I had about 2 hours before last light when I planned to cross the border, and getting caught because I couldn't see what was happening above me. A lot of Iraqis got out of trucks, started firing around me, and there was that feeling that you know, I weren't going to get out of this. You know, 2 hours to go before it was dark, and I thought, well, what is it now? This is when I'm going to die.
So, well, I'm on the edge of my seat. You can't stop there. I mean, so what happened? Did you just decide to get out with your hands raised? I mean, they're shooting around you.
Yeah, absolutely not. No. They'd have to drag me out if they want me out. There's no way I was getting out of the culvert with that. They were firing into the ground and all over the steel that was covering this drainage area. And, you know, all I could see was pairs of boots jumping into the drainage ditch and starting to drag me out. And then you go through what's called tactical questioning, and basically it's the troops that capture you. They just start beating you up. You know, so it was kicked and rifle butt, and you know, sort of, you know, back, some of my back teeth was split during the beating, and eventually got dragged through the town so the townspeople can take their frustrations out, because they were getting bombed every night and there was something tangible to take their frustrations out of. And that whole capture was the most frightening thing. So I thought I was going to get dragged down to the end of the town and then just ripped apart.
I have to wonder, with this kind of training, I mean, you said you were in it for 18 years and you have some perspective now looking back on it. How do you view your role and the role of the Special Forces? You guys are trained to be highly effective, efficient war machines.
Yeah, there's this sort of way that people look at, you know, Special Forces. You know, the fact is they do conduct war in a different way to a conventional force. But if you're looking at the situation there in Afghanistan, they can't do it unless they get information. The most important weapon all the time is information. Only then you can then, you know, get these guys out to do that sort of different operations that the conventional forces couldn't do. It's like many professions, you know. It's just that, you know, I joined the army at 16 as a boy soldier, and, you know, I served my time in the infantry battalions, and what I wanted to do was go and be the best soldier that I could be. You know, the same as if I, you know, maybe worked in an office. I would want to get to that point where you know you're trying to do the best at your job, and Special Forces just seemed that place to be.
Andy McNab is a former member of Britain's Special Forces Regiment, the SAS. He joined us from our studio in New York City. Thank you, Andy McNab.
Thank you.